You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Protecting some of Michigan's most vulnerable, our seniors. That's the mission of a task force Attorney General Dana Nessel has rolled out, noting some 73,000 elderly people in Michigan are suffering some kind of elder abuse. This task force includes lawmakers, state Supreme Court justices, and others. Allison Herschel is director and managing attorney of the Michigan Elder Justice Initiative and the elder law attorney at the Michigan Poverty Law Program, and she is one of the members of this newly created task force. Allison, why is this task force needed?
Well, I have to say I was extremely excited when this task force was announced. I've never heard public officials name the issues that this task force is talking about, and I certainly haven't heard public officials before really express a strong commitment to solving some of those problems. One of the main issues that the task force is addressing initially is some of the problems that we see in our guardianship system, and that's the system where someone is alleged to be incapacitated, and if the court agrees that they are incapacitated, a guardian can be appointed for them. But in our guardianship system across the state, last year, more than 10,000 petitions for guardianship were granted, but according to the Supreme Court statistics, fewer than 150 were denied. We know that many of those hearings last only a few minutes. We know that often the person who's alleged to be incapacitated isn't present. We know that there's often not very strong evidence about the person's ability to function and need for a guardian and whether less restrictive alternatives are available. And we know that people who are alleged to be incapacitated are often not represented by a lawyer in those hearings.
So does it feel, in a sense, that it's kind of rubber stamped through?
Well, I think the figures do speak for themselves, given that more than 10,000 petitions were granted and fewer than 150 were denied. It is hard to have a judge make a well-considered decision when a person is often not present, is often not represented by a lawyer, and the hearings are so short. And then, of course, when a guardian is appointed, usually it's a plenary guardian, which means that the guardian has the obligation to make almost all decisions in the person's life, including where they live and what medical treatment they get and what happens to their home and their possessions.
And I'm wondering, before we go further, who can apply to be guardians and what kind of background and criminal checks are there?
In our state, there is no licensure or certification requirement for professional guardians. Often a guardian is appointed who's a family member, but very often a guardian is appointed who's just an agency or an individual who is willing to serve as guardian. There is no requirement that they have any particular training or experience. And so that is a real concern, and one of the task force's very first initiatives is to require professional guardians to become certified and to require minimum training and professional standards and also bonds for these individuals. A number of other states do this, and now it looks like Michigan might well be one of the states that does, and that would be a huge advantage for us because we would finally know that the people who are responsible for our mothers and our fathers are people who have certain training and requirements and people that we can identify and whose work we can track.
It strikes me that we're not just talking mothers and fathers, but it could be, as you say, incapacitated adults, so it could be our brothers, it could be cousins, aunts, uncles. So we're talking about beyond the elderly then, if we're talking about reforms in guardianships. And I'm wondering, is there evidence that the system that we have in place now in Michigan are leading to the elderly or people who are incapacitated being taken advantage of? What does this look like?
Well, we do see that in my office every week. In part, there's an issue that because some professional guardians have more than 300 or even 400 people that they're responsible for, it's very difficult to give the kind of individual attention and concern for each individual when you're responsible for hundreds of people's lives. Sometimes that leads to neglect. Sometimes that leads to abuse. And then certainly in cases even where professional guardians don't have hundreds of wards, or even when it's a family member, sometimes we do see cases, not infrequently, where that guardian is not providing for people's most basic needs, is not making good choices about the care they receive, and is not being responsible about their finances.
What reforms do you most want to see come out of this task force when it comes to guardianships?
I think the ones that the task force listed as their initial initiatives are particularly important. I have been very concerned about the fact that our guardians aren't certified or licensed for years, and I'm delighted that that's one of the very first things that this task force will address. Some other issues that they're addressing regarding guardianship that I think are really important is a more careful look at when a guardian removes a person from their home, because we see that often guardianship is a pipeline to the nursing home. What happens is a guardian's appointed, they take the person out of their home, they move them into a nursing home because that often is an easier place to oversee that person's life, and then very quickly their homes are sold, all their possessions are sold or disposed of. So under the Elder Abuse Task Force initiative, the guardian would have to present the court with a written plan exploring all alternatives to removal. So they would have to look at, you know, can we get home and community-based services that would serve this person? Is there another way we can keep this person in their home? They'd also have to look if the person's home is sold. The court would have to review carefully the documents related to that sale to make sure that the sale was done in the person's best interest and that the appropriate sale price was obtained so that the person does benefit from the sale of that house. Another thing is that, as I said, some professional guardians have hundreds of people for whom they're responsible. The task force is suggesting that it will limit the number of wards per guardian, and I think that's hugely important because there's no way a guardian can really pay personal attention to the very important aspects of a person's life if they're responsible for so many people. And then I think there's some other important proposals. For example, one of the initiatives is that guardianship hearings should have the person present, which is already required in law but often doesn't happen. And there has to be medical testimony. There really has to be real evidence that the person is incapacitated and needs a guardian. So that's an important proposed initiative as well.
Allison Herschel is one of the members of the newly formed Michigan Elder Abuse Task Force. Thanks so much for speaking with us. I know we'll be following the work as it progresses.
Thank you very much.